Veterans having a hard time finding a place in society have a number of places they can turn for support. On the Oregon coast, the places now include Operation Rebuild Hope. The name is clear, but it's also literal, because Rebuilding Hope also involves the rebuilding of a beat-up old house where veterans can live and get off the streets. Let's hear about the organization from its leaders. Patrick Wright is the executive director of Operation Rebuild Hope and joins us by phone. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Good to have you here. Crystal Hopper joins us once again. She's the Director of Communications for Operation Rebuild Hope. Crystal, welcome back.
Hi.
Patrick, let's start with you. Talk about how Operation Rebuild Hope came together.
Well, it came together through my own struggles as I got out of the Marine Corps and tried to transition back into civilian life. I just had difficulty getting plugged in with any one organization. I had a bit of trouble trying to rehab my own house. And I just noticed there was a void in the system, so rather than keep complaining about that void, we decided to make a difference and do something about it. So I had saved up $3,000 of my own money to rebuild my own roof, and it was just brought to my attention there was a Vietnam veteran that needed the money more, so we ended up going in and rebuilding his roof instead, and that was the start of Operation Rebuild Hope in 2016. So that's what we've been doing for the last 3 years. Have just been a lot of rehab of homes in order to prevent veterans becoming homeless.
So you didn't intend for it to get this big, it sounds like. It sort of started as like, let's help this neighbor and that neighbor, and then just kept going.
Right. So I saved up some money. I was going to redo my roof. I went over to a veteran's home that had a old vehicle that I was going to turn into a food truck. And he just said, hey, you know, if you replace some of the shingles on my roof, then I will trade you for the food truck. But when I got up there and looked, it needed far more than that. And his insurance company was going to drop him, which the mortgage company would have gladly have paid his insurance at an additional $300 or $400 a month. And he was on Social Security. So that would have he wouldn't have been able to afford his mortgage, and he would have ended up homeless. So
there it went. Operation Rebuild Hope got built from there. Crystal Hopper, you're involved with several vets organizations on the coast, it seems. How big is the need for services?
The need is definitely there. I co-lead SCVAN, which is South Coast Veterans Assistance Network, and I've just kind of became a main contact for people to reach out to me whenever we have new veterans in the area or veterans in need. But we have such a great community out here who, you know, just really support all that we do. And my goal when I really started to get involved with everything a little over a year ago was just getting everybody to work with each other, because the need is there with like with Operation Rebuild Hope. And then we've got Fishing Veterans of America that works with the veterans with recreational activities, and we've got, you know, the Legion, we've got, you know, several, you know, VFW, along with many other organizations, and just community partnerships too, and just getting everybody to talk and come together for that. Once a month, we keep everybody on the same page and then communicating. But yeah, the need is definitely there. And we have a lot of veterans here and veteran families. So,
is it a higher percentage, you think, on the coast than perhaps in other parts of the state?
I don't have the exact percentage as far as how it compares. A lot of I know a lot of older veterans come out here to retire, and so I think that could maybe be a reason. But a lot of times, you know, what I find too is a lot of people don't even know, you know, that veterans are living right there, you know, next to them, or they're within, and they just, you know, happen to not see it unless somebody's like wearing a hat or a shirt, or, you know, they don't know that they're a veteran. And, but we do have several, and, but it's great to see also with these different organizations and community partnerships, and even a lot of our city leaders, and city managers and things around here, and mayors, are veterans themselves. So seeing everybody coming together, but then veterans helping other veterans. And that's probably my my favorite part of it all, is being that healing through service and helping each other. It's healing themselves too. So,
Crystal, when you were talking about people who might not know that their neighbors are vets, I mean, certainly in the Vietnam War era, there was a lot of people essentially hiding the fact that they had served at all. I mean, does that still go on, or is that a thing of the past?
I see that a lot more often with women. If a lot of women, if they were like, you know, say that they were a nurse, or if they, even though they served for some reason, you know, or they have, you know, their reasons as to why they don't say that they are a veteran. They served, but they won't say that they're a veteran. And then some veterans, maybe if they didn't deploy or they were in like a actually involved in the war right there in infantry, you know, maybe they may not say that they are a veteran. I do see that a lot, though. Yes.
We are talking about helping veterans on the Oregon coast with Crystal Hopper and Patrick Wright of Operation Rebuild Hope. Patrick is the executive director, Crystal, the director of communications. Questions, comments, thoughts, you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Patrick, tell us about Brian's Home and how that project got started.
Brian's Home, so part of our plan is to not only just prevent veterans from becoming homeless, but we actually want to house homeless veterans. We kind of looked at Brian's Home or the concept as part of our 10-year plan. It just the need was just so great that we started it way earlier than we thought. It was just kind of by chance. I had stopped at a property next door to where Brian's Home is located because it was a rental, and we had a veteran that was in need of renting a place. And I saw the for sale sign, and I contemplated calling. And finally, after a few minutes, I decided to call, and the owners are out of California, and they just happened to be in town at that exact time. And I got to talking with them and met out the property, worked out a deal, and signed the papers and closed escrow on December 31st. It was just all a lot of chance meetings, and I guess it was just completely meant to be.
North Bend is where Brian's Home is located?
Yes, it's in North Bend, right as you come in town, across from Ashworth's Market.
Who is it named for?
So Brian Bertrand was a classmate of mine, graduated from Marshfield High School. He was also the first casualty of Operation Enduring Freedom from Oregon.
Okay, Operation Enduring Freedom was Afghanistan?
Yes.
Okay. So, wow. So, how well did you know Brian?
Well, I knew Brian since my freshman year of high school, all the way. Then we were in high school all the way together, and then 2 years after. So I knew him for about 6 years.
Tell us about the house itself. It sounds like it was a bit on the scruffy side. What did you find when you got it, and what do you hope to turn it into?
Well, originally, we bought the property without even looking at the house. I just felt that the lot alone was worth the price that we were paying. And originally, our plan was to put small homes on the residential part of that lot. So when we finally did complete the purchase and went inside the house, I was pleasantly surprised on how strong the bones are. So it's extremely strong inside, and so we're stripping it out completely, gutting the whole building, and it's going to have brand new, everything's going to be new wiring, new plumbing, all the walls, it's going to just completely be rebuilt.
How many people can you fit in the house when all is said and done?
Well, it's a 3,000 square foot house, and so we're going to be able to put 9 people in it, so we're going to have 2 people downstairs in the ADA room, and then we'll be able to have another 7 upstairs.
And what's the status of the process now? I mean, it looks like some of the remodeling has begun.
We have gutted out all the inside of the building. It is stripped down to studs. Our next project is towards the end of the month. We're going to have it completely sided, have brand new windows and doors and everything on it, and hopefully Sherman Williams is going to come in towards the end of the month and be able to paint it for us, and it'll just, it's going to completely change the whole look of the property.
Absolutely, it sounds like. So you mentioned Sherwin-Williams potentially coming in to paint it. Are you getting other donations of supplies and cash to help with the process?
Well, we're getting a lot of donations of supplies. It's easier to get materials from people than it is to get money. We are in need of money, just trying to cover some of the overhead. We are still in need of donation or money in order to get the siding. So that's our big push this week and the next couple of weeks is trying to get that together so that we can complete it.
How much will the siding cost, or how much siding do you need? I guess we could state it in square footage.
Well, it's a 3,000 square foot house. I'm not sure of the linear feet of that, but we're estimating, the contractor estimated the material cost for that to be around $13,000.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need volunteers, so we need people to come in, and we're going to completely have to sheet the whole outside of that house. So that's taken OSB and going over the top of the old siding, and so that's going to be a lot of labor.
Sounds like you were pretty handy already, Patrick. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, I'm a chef by trade. Construction just had to do it in order to remodel my house that I was trying to do. So I've learned a lot over the last several years. Done several roofs, worked with a couple different construction companies and roofing companies. So I do have that experience.
So where are the? Have you identified the people who will live in the house yet?
Well, right. So we built. We're also officially partnered with ORCA, which is Oregon Coast Community Action, and we rehabbed an apartment. And we did that not knowing if the need was there in the community. And then within 3 weeks, that apartment is filled with four veterans. So right now we're housing four veterans immediately. And we're using those veterans to help us rehab Brian's home. So my thought process with Brian's home, it's a 12,000 square foot lot with a 3,000 square foot house. We're going to be able to house a total of 16 people there after we complete all three phases. And based on what we did with the apartment, I just know that it's going to fill in quick. We did the apartment, and within a few weeks we had the veterans. So I know it's going to happen with Brian's home as well. We do have the two ADA rooms downstairs. We're going to have two rooms reserved upstairs for females only. And then we're going to have two units that are reserved for veterans and their families. So that's a new for Oregon right now. No one's meeting those needs, and so we'll be the first in Coos County to do that.
Patrick Wright, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of Operation Rebuild Hope on the Oregon coast, opening up Brian's home later this year in North Bend. Crystal Hopper, the director of communications. Crystal, give us a sense of, are there still some unmet needs on the Oregon coast? I mean, Patrick was just talking about this is unique to Oregon, it would appear, but or at least on the coast. So what are you seeing in terms of needs that are still need to be addressed on the coast for veterans?
What I'm seeing is really a lot of the just trying to connect, getting that communication on the veterans coming in, trying to get them first finding out that they're here and getting them connected with the services. There are a lot of resources in our community. Just a lot of times they are not... working with veterans is different than working with somebody that's not a veteran. And so trying to get them connected into the services. So I'm seeing a little bit of a communication thing that definitely veterans feel, most of the veterans that I meet feel more comfortable being surrounded by other veterans. So having a place like Brian's home, they're going to feel comfortable knowing that they're surrounded and by their brother and sister veterans. Just like with the apartment, they've got other veterans and the fact that they're kind of, have some similar situations. A lot of them are struggling with different things like PTSD, and there are some, our clinic down here has an an awesome team on the mental health side. But what I with the VA, there are a lot of struggles having to do with that, and a lot of most of the veterans don't like to walk into like a facility looking for help. So that having something like what Operation Rebuild Hope has, it allows them to come to a non, you know, government facility to, you know, ask for help. And then what we do is we then try to refer them into the services that are already here and work as an advocate for them. So,
Patrick Wright, what we send people off to do in war is different from anything we ask them to do here at home. Even in the best cases, do people have trouble readjusting to civilian life when they come out of the service?
Yeah, I'm a Marine Corps veteran, 14 years of service with three combat deployments to Iraq. And it's when you're in, you're just constantly getting ready for the next deployment. And you're surrounded by other people that understand what you're going through. But when you get out, you're alone, and that's when your brain really starts to wrap around all the things that you've been through and all the things that you've seen. And then there's no one really to guide you through that process. And if you're not plugged into that same line of work of servanthood, such as, you know, police officers, firefighters, first responders, they're all veterans that get into those jobs when they get out. They do really well, but people that don't fit into those bubbles, they kind of really struggle, and that's where I found myself when I got out.
So what you're trying to do with Operation Rebuild Hope is give guys a place to work together on something again.
Right. So we're essentially veterans helping veterans, and we do a model called Healing Through Service that we learned from Q Missions. And that's taking veterans that are struggling and get them around other veterans, and then you go and serve somebody else.
And so how many people altogether do you think will end up working on Brian's home in addition to the people who live there?
I mean, thousands. We need lots of volunteers. We need we've already had a lot of different people come in and do work. But I mean, it's going to be thousands of volunteers, and over the lifetime of the home, I mean, you just have no idea how many veterans we're going to help or how many lives this is going to change and touch.
Do you have any concerns about ongoing funding to get the place covered and keep the costs covered when it is open?
No, we're essentially teaching veterans how to be self-sustainable. We're going to get them off the street into a home and give them all the job-related skills that they need in order to be reintegrated into society. And I'm not going to teach a program that I'm not willing to do myself. So we're already looking at ways to become self-sufficient ourselves. The property is commercial, so we can run a small business right there off the property. We're building a commercial kitchen that'll allow us to maybe cater in the area or do something. Always trying to tie it back to culinary with me having that.
Right,
kind of
the chef.
Right. We also are looking at maybe trying to get some zombie homes from the area. Those are abandoned properties. The city wants and county wants to foreclose on those. In order to do that, they have to have a nonprofit on the receiving end. Operation Rebuild Hope could then take mm-hmm. the property and rehab it, either rent it out to as affordable housing or sell the property, which would bring revenue in.
Okay, Operation Rebuild Hope on the Oregon coast. Patrick, we have to stop there. Sorry, okay. Crystal Hopper, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck.